Okay,
it
wasn't too bad. I took the 329,
I think.
Which helped a lot.
It was
like,
huge.
It was really nice.
I know.
And since it was a full year course,
I'll have to take a ride off. This weekend would be a good one.
Unit of each. We did micro and macro at the same, which helps a lot. So there's only like 5 minutes of topic you need to learn for each.
Bring your walking shoes. Yeah. The
then,
pads.
Like,
I'm bringing an e-bar.
A lot of
crushed asphalt.
It very made walkable. Sense.
Yeah.
Okay. It made sense, like what they're talking about.
Like that's what.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna go ahead and call this meeting to order. Start with attendance, and we have Supervisor Berg is present. Supervisor Boyd Frederick.
Here.
Supervisor Nordigan.
Present.
Supervisor Maurer.
Here.
Supervisor Lewis.
Here.
Supervisor Beth.
Here.
And Supervisor Kubicki.
Here.
And Youth and Governance, Mr. Chow.
Here.
And Youth and Governance, Mr. Rothov.
Here.
Thank you, everyone. Moving on, we'll go to citizens' comments. I can ask citizens' comments three times, but I'm not seeing any citizens in here, so say citizens' comments. I'm seeing none. We'll move on to reports from the chairperson. reference to here, I have none. Any reports from committee members? Seeing east and west, we'll move forward to communications.
None received, Mr. Chairman.
No communications. Moving to approval of the minutes from August 17th, 21.
Move the minutes.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Nordigan, seconded by Supervisor Kubicki. All those in favor say aye.
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 And Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to number 7, which is the resolution pertaining to placement location process of Chapter 980, Sexually Violent Persons in Kenosha County. Did you want to come up, Supervisor? Go ahead and open it up to any discussion.
I presented it last week, so, or last month, so.
Were we waiting on a...
I have a question.
A ruling or a
so
judgment, or I don't know what you
the
call
reason
it.
We
opinion.
Able to...
An opinion yes. From Ledge Council. I had emailed that a couple
yes.
weeks ago to everyone,
yeah.
so. Which they... basically said that there was no conflict with state statutes.
Go ahead, sir.
To sum it up.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Supervisor Decker, on the third, be it further resolved, starts on, I believe, the second page. Kenosha County shall notify the municipal administrator and village president or town chairman within 3 business days after an employee, agency, or department is contacted by the state of Wisconsin about a potential placement location for a person under Chapter 980. But we don't know the municipality that they're talking. They're just saying there's a person in Kenosha County that we're going to need to be placed, right? So, I mean, at that point, we don't know, because it's kind of covered under the next one, I think, that be it further resolved, Chapter 980, Sexually Violent Persons Placement Review Committee shall notify the municipal administrator, village president, town chair of a potential residence within 3 business days. Isn't that the one that really covers what you're trying to
accomplish?
Well,
the first one that you stated is in case anyone from the state of Wisconsin is working before they discuss it with the, or present it to the committee. As in, I know that the state of Wisconsin contacts landlords across the state. I know they contact landlords across this county to see if they would be willing to rent to the state of Wisconsin. So if they're working behind the scenes before they even contact the county.
Oh, so you're thinking, okay. So if there was a potential, it's like they've identified a place, but they haven't officially done anything. So you're saying as soon as they've identified
mm-hmm.
in any way, shape, or form, then that municipality, but it's got to come through the county to go to the minister, so we know where it is too, right? Because you're looking at
right, but the state of Wisconsin has been working behind the scenes before they contact
okay.
the county. So if they're looking at a place, we want to know as soon as they've looked at a place and you know possibly have a place in mind that we can contact the municipality is contacted.
If the state. In that example where you said the state of Wisconsin is working behind the scenes on it, do they then inform the county as it is now? Or do they just...
The county's committee actually has to approve the placement right now. The research, but right now.
Yeah.
But I know that the state does do some legwork behind the scenes.
Because if the state's doing legwork behind the scenes, they should be letting Kenosha County know, so if the county then can inform. Because how you have it is a county shall notify the municipal administrator.
Right.
All that. Okay. So, okay. Thank you. That was...
I have a question about notifying the village president or town chairman, because I know right now Paris is in a legal lawsuit because they weren't notified, and another one in the state placed another person in our county. Now, how do we get the state to do this?
Well, we cannot require the state to, but we can require our own employees and people we're working with to. So once we find out, then we can inform the municipalities.
If I may, just a couple of things. First of all, if the state has been working behind the scenes to try and find locations for the 980 placements, they have never told us.
I'm not saying that they did tell us.
Right, I'm not saying that you were saying that. I'm just indicating that if that is the case, they have never come to us and said, we have a location. In the 2 years that I've been working on this, that's never occurred. We have a list from the state of vendors who have worked with it before who have expressed an interest, but not locations. We've never had a location. Again, I'm not saying it's not occurring. I'm just saying nothing has come to us. The other thing is, and I may have touched on this last month, and if I did, and I'm repeating myself, I apologize, but I may not have done it very well. There are a couple of different things in play, and I certainly don't know what the situation is in Paris, but it's important to remember that there are placements for individuals who have been committed under Chapter 980, who are considered to be serious, violent sex offenders, who have finished their criminal sentences and have then been further civilly committed and placed in a secure treatment facility until such time as a court has determined that they may be eligible for release. Those are the individuals that the county is currently responsible for when a circuit court says that, you know, one of yours is eligible for release. There's another category that I sort of jokingly refer to as your garden variety sex offenders, who are people who are finishing up a prison sentence for a sex offense, but are still under some sort of state of Wisconsin supervision, generally parole or supervised release. They don't call it extended supervision. I'm sorry, it's been a long time since I've done any criminal work. Extended supervision. Those are individuals that the Department of Corrections are responsible for supervising, and there are rules. I don't know what they are because I don't have to deal with them, but there are rules in terms of community notification and so on and so forth. That's a different thing from what we're dealing with. That's something that the county isn't involved in, has no say in, other than whatever connection the DOC has to have with law enforcement. And again, I don't know what those rules are because it's not something the county has to deal with. So I'm...
And those placements are under the Department of Corrections. These 980 sex offenders, once they serve their time, then they are moved to the Department of Health Services, and the Department of Health Services is who is in charge of their treatment facility and their treatment. So that's how they're able to, I read it in one of these things, that's how they're able to do it and not be violating their civil rights, that they served their time and are still under supervision. It's because they're switched from the Department of Corrections to the Department of Human Services, and they're now it's a health, it's under the health department. That's how they're different, the 980 sex offenders. That's how they're able to still be housed at the mental health or, you know, the treatment facilities, because they're not under the Department of Corrections, they're under the Department of Health.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
So the only concern I had with this resolution was just a general concern that it didn't conflict with state stat or state statutes. And I know we've got an opinion from Samantha Kirkman's
Ledge Council.
Ledge Council. And I don't know if Cardamone has an opinion on any of that or not.
Sure. And thank you, Supervisor, for asking. And again, I may have spoken inartfully last month. It's not so much that I was concerned that the resolution was contrary to state statutes, so much as it was adding additional factors on top of what the state statute requires. And I certainly appreciated the memo that was provided and the idea that there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I expressed last month, and I will express again, I do have concerns, particularly because this is such a challenging process to begin with, that if we start adding additional steps beyond that which is called for in statute, that we are potentially inviting challenges, litigation, so forth. I found out this past, about a week ago, I received word that there is a federal lawsuit going on. I don't have a lot of specifics, but a federal lawsuit that has been filed by four individuals who have all been granted supervised release but have been unable to be placed. They are challenging the 980 system in total, I think, on the grounds that, again, that it was originally upheld from a constitutional standpoint because there was a promise that at some point they would be able to be released back into the community. They weren't being incarcerated. It wasn't indefinite, and so on and so forth. Again, Kenosha is certainly not alone in this, but there is the thrust of the lawsuit is that there is a disparity that's been created in terms of the relative ease in placement, either as opposed in rural areas, such as many of the counties up north, as opposed to the more urban areas, for example, much of southeastern Wisconsin. There's four plaintiffs. Two of them are Kenosha County individuals that we've been trying to place for at least a year, in one instance, maybe longer. So I do worry that if we start adding additional factors on, it's going to appear that we are not taking our responsibility seriously, and that we are creating further roadblocks to try and place these individuals. That's a concern that I have, because we've been unable to do it as it is. I'm concerned about adding additional steps that are not called for in statute, and what that might do in terms of the process moving forward.
Sure.
If I could, the Corp Counsel. So basically what you're saying is these steps should be started or completed at the state level, not at the county level. Let the state handle it. They've been handling it. Let them do it. You know, contact your representative and voice your concerns on how you'd like to get the state statutes changed, and let them do it at their level, not at our level here. Is that what I'm hearing?
Certainly, I think that would be, from my standpoint, that would be preferable. Then it's uniform. Everybody's doing the same thing.
The whole state.
Right, exactly. We've got one set of standards. There was a bill a few years ago, a couple years ago now, I guess, that would have addressed some of the issues that had been seen with the system, including the difficulty in trying to find placements. Part of that bill would have actually added, at the point in time when a residence was, or a potential residence was identified, it would add a representative of that municipality to the committee for part of the conversation. That was a bill that I think passed, but then was vetoed. So certainly there would be, there are certainly issues with this process. There are things that I would love to suggest and recommend be changed, but again, I'm concerned about what happens if we start just for us and us alone adding additional steps to the process.
Thank you. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman, at this time.
Thank you.
The steps mostly include notification. So, I mean, how does that hinder the process of placing these sex offenders when we're just notifying the municipalities so they can assist the county in locating places that are, or helping them out, telling them where parks are and things like that, so the municipality, so they do not get placed in a place that is contrary to law, like what happened this last time?
Well, I guess I would respond, Supervisor Decker, respectfully by saying I think the system actually worked. I mean, I'm not saying it was ideal, but the placement didn't occur. It was brought to the attention first of the committee through law enforcement, and then to the court that it appeared there was a problem with the placement. The courts then rescinded those placements. So, I mean, I certainly understand
It was actually brought to the attention by the village administrator of Salem Lakes. So if they had not been informed of it, these sex offenders would have been placed. Michael Murdoch is the one who informed the county of these parks, that this was not a legal placement. It wasn't the county. If Michael Murdoch from the village administrator of Salem Lakes had not known about this, those people would have been placed there.
No doubt.
Because the sheriff's department approved the placement and recommended it to the committee. So it wasn't until Michael Murdoch told the sheriff's department and the county, or the county, whichever, that there were parks available. Otherwise, they would have been placed. And when you have, were you in at the building with the couple hundred people? Were you at that meeting?
I did not attend that meeting.
Okay, I attended it, and so did Supervisor Nordegan. When you have a couple hundred angry citizens complaining, begging, swearing, they are so angry, that is not a good process. If you have a process where the municipality knows and they can inform the residents before the placement so they're aware and not be told that these sex offenders are going to be placed there, and that's a done deal, unless the judge decides to change their mind, which then we have to beg the judge to hope and just hope and pray that they don't place a sex offender next to a park. So that is not, this process was not ideal, and that's why I came up with this resolution, because God forbid they come to, the committee tries to place someone in Kenosha, the city of Kenosha, and who's gonna go to that meeting? And we only had 200, and we're the village of Salem Lakes. Imagine if a sex offender is trying to get placed next to somewhere in the village, in the city of Kenosha. So to say that process worked is just completely wrong. We were lucky that the judge changed their mind and agreed that that was a park.
Respectfully, again, just so that the record is clear, I don't know all of the steps that occurred. I don't know at what point contact was made between the administrator and law enforcement, but the sheriff's department contacted me and said there may be a problem. There were a couple of different issues going on with Salem Lakes, and I don't know how deeply into it people want me to go, but what law enforcement indicated was we had measured the location from here to one end of a park. We didn't realize it wrapped around. When we realized that it wraps all the way around, we remeasured, and it's within the 1,500 feet. And it was at that point that I contacted the courts and said, this has come to my attention. The courts need to be aware that law enforcement may no longer be supporting this placement. And so the first of the two, one judge basically just pulled the plug more or less immediately. The second one did ask for a hearing, but that was requested by the attorney for the individual, who had his own arguments. There were other concerns that were raised. Ultimately, the determination was made based on the one park that had been a, and I can't explain what occurred. Law enforcement made an error. They retracted their support for the placement. That was conveyed to the courts. Had the measurement been, and again, I'm not faulting anyone, had the measurement been done correctly the first go around, we wouldn't have sent it to the court in the first place. We wouldn't have recommended the placement from the committee.
Right, and if law enforcement had talked to the village administrator, they would have known right away where the parks were, instead of after approving it and then finding out from the administrator that there were parks there that they were unaware of.
Again, you're saying parks. There are parks that the village is identifying. The court didn't rule on whether those were parks or not. The only thing that was in determination by the court was the park that loops around the boat launch. And the full thing they measured it from the far end, not the near end, because they didn't realize that the entirety of it was a park.
If I can, something I thought I heard you say is that there's places being called parks, but they're not legally parks?
No, they're parks. If your municipality declares something a park, it's a park, according to state statutes. And that is why in the resolution, just backing up, that is why in the resolution I have in here asking the state of Wisconsin to clarify the term park, because right now the term in state statute is pretty vague. Well, it's not vague, it's clear, but a judge can interpret it something different. And so we would like the state legislature to clarify even more, so that way a judge cannot interpret it a way that is different than what municipalities interpret, which is anything a municipality or county says is a park, is a park.
I would simply say I agree with Supervisor Decker. I think it's an issue that probably needs to be addressed. I say that in part because one of the one of the changes that has been made in the law over the years, as well as one of the ones that was part of, not the only by any stretch of the imagination, but part of the impetus for the most recent changes, which put the onus on the counties, was that cities, towns, villages, maybe counties, we didn't do one here, but were having their own individualized ordinances specifying where these sex offenders could and couldn't be placed. And it was creating, number one, a patchwork of varying standards and varying criteria. But more importantly, it was effectively providing a veto on the part of municipalities, saying, well, you can't put them here, you can't put them here, you can't put them here. Many municipalities were effectively putting walls up around, you know, their borders and saying, not here. And I absolutely understand that. I understand the impetus, I understand the motivation, but it got to the point where that part of why the state was having such difficulty placing people was because they were trying to work around this patchwork of regulations and ordinances. So actually before they turned it over to the county, but they sort of said, you know, we're not going to follow these type of local ordinances. We're only going to follow what's in the statute. Local ordinances might control again for your other sort of sex offenders, but not for the 9-8s. Okay. I am not trying to say what is or is not a park, what should or should not be a park. I put out there that there is the having tried to say we don't want municipalities driving this process, I have concerns that if any government-owned property can be declared a park without any other criteria, just we own it, it is therefore a park, that you de facto create a situation where municipalities once again are being able to essentially say, we've created now this map that it's impossible to place somebody in because we've got a little park here and a little park here, and then when you put everything together, there's no longer anywhere to place somebody. That's, so I agree that it's really something that the state needs to address, needs to clarify, needs to determine how they want to approach this. You mentioned, just out of here, I mean, you mentioned the city of Kenosha, and you said, God forbid we ever try to place something. It is essentially impossible. I mean, with the map that's been prepared based on the statutory criteria, there's almost nowhere, when you factor in the schools,
parks,
the daycare centers, the parks, there's essentially no place in the city.
Correct me if I'm wrong, hasn't the DOC given a sleeping bag and a tent and dropped them off at parks?
That I don't know.
They're not under DOC, so they're DHS, the 980s.
None of you,
sure.
Long before almost anybody, I think, was on the board, except possibly Chairman O'Day, I did work for the DA's office when I was first out of law school. And we used to joke about the fact, you know, because there's a similar, there are similar requirements on drug offenses, you know, and you know, if you could add an enhancer, a penalty enhancer, if they were within 1,000 feet of a school, a park, you know, and we used to joke, you know, that there was like one corner in the city where, you know, if you were lucky enough to get caught there dealing drugs, you wouldn't get the enhancer, but every place else was. It's kind of the same thing. I mean, there's almost no place in the city that we would be able to place somebody. You hardly even ever look because there's just no locations.
Next thing you know, we're going to be calling it sex offender row. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this whole resolution basically is a resolution of clarity. We talked about clarity of parks, clarity of what adjacent property mm-hmm. is, clarity of what a youth center is, clarity of open government, clarity of how to work with the municipalities as opposed to, there you go. I will 100% agree with what Supervisor Decker said. That was done wrong. For Mike Murdoch to be informed and then have to back into it, that just enraged everyone. As opposed to, had it been done correctly, Mike Murdoch could have guided them, where are you guys looking, what do you say, let's look at that, and worked with them to determine where, now that spot doesn't work because, but if you get a clarity of parks and now all of a sudden it says, okay, no, that can't be a park by our by the definition of the state, well now he has to go back and he can explain it to the people. But by just dropping it right on there, what we're doing is we're putting the most vulnerable at risk because we do not have a definable method, a process, where it keeps the rights of the offenders who have now done their time in place and keeps the flavor of what it is that's supposed to be done. Now, you said this came about because of all the little municipalities doing their own things. Well, this can be tweaked, and I won't even say tightened, but this can be better identified. So therefore, we don't run into what happened in Salem Lakes. And I think that's the problem, isn't just the fact that it happened, but how it happened. They would have been placed there, period, end of story, if it wasn't for Mike Murdoch. End of story. And then what we would have had. Now it would have been a violation. So, and maybe everything would have turned out. I don't know. You know, I'd like to give somebody the benefit of doubt, but when the state has identified these people as Chapter 980, I don't know that benefit of the doubt is the first thing they're going to get from the community. I don't know. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
One question. 1 minute. I know what rules are in the DOC. What are our rules for the 980s in terms of placing men or women back into the areas they came from? Is it based on a county or is it based on
county.
A municipality?
County.
It's based on county. Okay.
So. Every place other than Milwaukee.
But before the Wheatland incident in 2017, they could be placed out of county because that was someone from Racine County being placed into Wheatland.
Yeah, I know that. So scuttle that started.
So that that's how the law changed at the state that they have to stay in the county.
It previously was they were supposed to go back to the county of residence.
Supposed to is the key word.
Unless like good cause was found to put them someplace else. And frankly, the good cause tended to be down here anyways. The good
we can't find any place.
We can't find any place. And so eventually they would put them someplace else. Unfortunately, too many people got put someplace else. They were all up north. And then the legislators from up north said, we're bad with this, you know.
Right, that's what changed.
Understandably, you know, so.
Supervisor
Chair, this is for corporate counsel. Since Milwaukee County, and doesn't Dane County also have that, that they have to go back? If they're from the city, they stay in the city. If he had been from Salem Lakes, he'd have to go there. Why can't we put this into place in Kenosha County? Because a lot of these people are getting dumped in the areas we live in rather than the city. And that's what happened there, and that's what's happening in my district. And the people out there are fighting this, and the municipalities put up these rules. They have to do this, this, and this. If Milwaukee County can do it, I don't see why we can't as a county board. Say they have, if they're from the city, they have to stay in the city.
I guess I would respond by saying, first of all, it's statutory. It's right in the law about Milwaukee County. I'd have to look. I don't remember Dane County having it too, but it's
I think it's based on population, possible. Probably.
Right. I mean, I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry. This is not a funny conversation. But when you talk about Milwaukee, there's so many places in the statute where it's, you know, one rule for everybody and one rule for Milwaukee County. You know, and I think it is probably because of the population situation. So again, I would be hesitant, absent a change in the statute, in saying we were going to try and do something like that here, for a couple of reasons. As I've already indicated, I think I'm leery of adding additional criteria beyond what's in the statute. I also, as I indicated, know that it's essentially impossible to place anybody in the city. And if the idea was that they've got to go back, and that's based on the statutory criteria, not anything else. I'll be very honest. In the long term, I don't know that this system is tenable. I'm just going to be very honest with you. I think fundamental changes have to be made in it. I certainly am not providing those changes or suggesting them. I'm just saying I think in the long term, I don't know that this is tenable. I don't know that at the point in time when the statutes were first passed, anybody was thinking about what was going to happen 20, 30 years down the road, in part because while I don't handle the 980 cases, the prosecutions, that's either the DA's office or the Attorney General's office, I know that one of the frustrations that they have expressed to me is that some of the doctors are beginning to use the aging of these offenders as one of the criteria in terms of determining future risk. Actuarially, you know, if you get to be a certain age, you're less likely to reoffend. I don't know anything about the science. I don't know anything about the medicine. I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just saying that's one of the things that's happening. This population is aging, and they're determined that they're less of a risk because they're aging. So we now have a group of people who are getting to the point where doctors are recommending release, and we're having to find places for them. And we are failing to find places for them, which is ultimately going to have consequences for someone. I don't know if it's going to be us. I don't know if it's going to be the state. I know there's at least one individual in Kenosha County where, following, again, the inability of us to find anywhere to place him, the court ultimately simply discharged him. So there wasn't a supervised release. There wasn't a plan. There wasn't further treatment. There was just a discharge. And I don't think any of us think that's a great idea either. But that's, you know, that's, and sometimes that's what the court feels its alternative is.
Mr. Chairman, a question for Supervisor Decker on the notice.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say, I don't have a problem with any of the notice provisions as far as letting people know what's going on. I was obviously not on a county board when all this hit the fan in Wheatland in 2017, and I really don't know what the process is, but in the resolution, there's a three business day notice requirement, and it seemed that the counsel from the state had some concerns about that. And so my question is that 3 days there for specific reason, or can that be longer to allow?
It can be longer. I just put it in so that way they get notified soon, so they're not, you know, notified 3 weeks from.
Well, it seems that the council for the legislature had a problem with that short notice period. If we had, and I don't know how long the process takes, so I don't know what would be a reasonable length of time over and above that. So that, I guess, is my question.
Well, that's something that if you want to make a motion to change it to a different timeline, that's
perfectly acceptable. Well, I can do that. I don't know what's reasonable. That's why I'm asking. Because I don't know what the process is. How long?
Well, this would change. This kind of changes the process, because right now they don't have, the county or the state doesn't have to tell the municipalities at all beforehand that they're looking at a location, or that, you know, that they're looking in the village of Salem Lakes. They don't have to talk to that, to the municipality at all right now, until after they've decided on a place. So this is something, you know, new.
So we're telling the state they have to notify these places?
Now, if the state is working with someone from the county, they have to, the person that they're working with from the county has to notify, you know, they have to notify the municipality.
Computer shut down, I can't look. I'm trying to get back to it.
Are you looking for the resolution itself?
I'm looking for that letter from.
Oh, the Ledge Council letter?
Yeah.
I didn't print that out, I'm sorry.
I think I've got a copy if you need one, supervisor.
Here it is, it came back. It's the magic of technology.
I just didn't want them sitting on this knowledge, knowing, and then waiting till, you know, the last minute to inform the municipality. Let them know so they can help. It's mostly so the municipality can help the county, or, you know, with their search, telling them, no, this place doesn't work. How about, you know, here's a good place. There's no parks around here, that kind of stuff. It's so we don't run into the situation we did in Salem Lakes and Wheatland. Wheatland was different because that was the state doing it, because that's before the law changed.
I think what's going to happen as a practical matter is that you know, the more, I mean, obviously the more advanced notice people get, the less likely it is that spot's going to be approved ultimately, because things will come up. And that may be the intention of this, and that's...
What do you mean things will come up?
Well, I mean, so we define, you know, so we can't have placement within so many feet of a child, right?
As long as they live there.
As long as they live there. Well, so you move somebody in.
The process isn't that long.
Okay. I don't know what the process
right.
is. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chow.
I have a question for Supervisor Decker. Correct me if I'm wrong, but so the state places someone without the county's knowledge, they initially find a spot for this sex offender?
No, that's incorrect. Corp Counsel, do you want to explain the process to him?
Certainly. The individuals that we're talking about here, what would happen is that they petition. They have a right to petition once a year for supervised release to the court. And if the court, for whatever reason, there are various ways it gets to that decision, determines that the individual is eligible and appropriate for supervised release, the county is then ordered to find an appropriate placement for the individual within the statutory confines. And again, there's a number of criteria. It can't be within 1,500 feet of a park, a daycare center, a school, a place of worship. There are special requirements if, depending on the type of offender, it might be the county is given 120 days in which to try and secure a residence for these individuals.
And then they have to contact the county who locates a spot, correct?
That's what he just said, was the county is looking for the spot.
Right, okay.
And then once the county finds a spot, then they've gone into and write, like, for example, this time, the state actually signed a lease with the property owner, and then for a year, and is paying probably around $2,500 a month to rent this home. And then we come to find out that it doesn't fit the criteria, and they can't be placed there. So the state is stuck paying this rent for at least a year, you know, for a year, and not being used because it wasn't a location that fit the state statutes.
Okay, and then right now it's not common courtesy to, like, notify the municipality beforehand?
Nope, they're not required to, so they haven't been notified until they're so far in the process that it's very hard to get a petition the court to not place them there.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Supervisor Kubicki.
Yeah, I was reading through these whereases a few times more and more. Wisconsin State Statute 980.084DM does not require communication between the county and local municipalities where proposed residential placement is located. The next whereas, the term adjacent property is not clear in Wisconsin state statutes in regard to properties that only have one location point in common. The next whereas, the definition of public park is broad in the Wisconsin state statutes and may be open to different court opinions. As I'm reading all this, I think a lot of what needs to be done and what I'm hearing from court counsel and what I'm hearing from what they're seeing from what I'm reading is things need to change at the state. The state needs to, as you had said earlier, the clear definition of what a park actually is, correct?
These aren't changes.
No, I'm just saying, did you say that earlier?
Yeah, the definitions.
That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you.
Right.
So Wisconsin state statutes. Wisconsin state statutes may be open to different court opinions. That's what I'm saying. What is a public park? That's my point. My point is, I think the state needs to be more involved in this whole process because they're already in it.
That's why I'm trying to tell you right now. I'm asking them to make those changes.
That's great. So what I'm trying to say right now is, I think it needs to happen at the state level. Is what I'm saying is, let the state deal with it. You're absolutely right in all these whereases. Let the state do it. Let it come down from the state. And then we'll go ahead and follow, as you had said, and Joe Cardamone, our corp counsel, has said, the county will implement. Start at the top, go down to the next legislative branch, and let's implement. That's the way I see it. That's what I'm going to support, going from the state down to us. That's what I'm going to do at this time. That's all I have at this time, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
If you do not support this and wait for the state, it will not happen.
Why won't it happen from the state?
Because right now...
They don't see it. They don't see
the... We're requesting the state to do it. We're not saying we can do it. All these resolvers, we're requesting the state.
Yes, to do the things that they have to do. We're doing the things that we can do. The things we cannot do, like change the definition or clarify the definition of a park, we can't do that on the county level. So that's why I'm asking the state to do it. The other things I'm asking, or I want the county to do, because the way government is running in the state right now, you can't, if the legislature would say the sky is blue, or the sky is green, the governor would say it was blue. They will not agree on anything right now. And Corp Council just said that something was vetoed recently. It will not get passed. So if you do not vote for this, you're saying it's because you want the state to do it, you are in essence saying you do not want any action on
don't put words in my mouth, because I'm going to stop you there. What I said, and if you listen to what I said,
you
was,
said you want the state
I
to
want
do it, and I'm telling
state
you the state is not going to do it.
And that's what I want done. Our legislators need to do this and enforce it at the state level so it's uniform throughout.
It doesn't need to be uniform.
Why shouldn't
throughout.
It be?
We
well, don't
do
we want fair
we
and equitable
want to
government
we are allowed
for all?
To do. Ledge Council said we can do this. It does not violate state statutes.
I didn't say any violation, though. Don't say I said that.
I said to you was... You want to pass it on to the state. You don't want
I
us
want
to pass,
the state to
pass
to do some of
if
their
we
work
don't pass
is
it
what
here,
I want.
It's not going to get passed at the state level.
Well,
that's why I am doing this here.
My vote.
Because I know it won't
I'll
get passed at
the
state level.
Okay,
thank
we're
you.
Starting to talk over each other, so I'm going to go with Supervisor about an hour now.
So the way that I look at it is, you know, we represent our constituents. Supervisor Decker represents the people that were, I wasn't there, but the 200 people in the room. So she tried to do something.
Actually,
about
I don't represent them. This was not in my district.
No?
This was in Sharon Palmaville's district.
Okay. So collectively, we represent the people, and I completely appreciate Corp Council's position on the other committee for placing these people. I mean, I don't envy you that job. I completely understand that it's a difficult job.
But
statute says that it's me or my designee. Are you volunteering?
Tribute, right? Like the movie in Tribute. So I completely appreciate that. But we are representing the people in the county, and they've obviously spoken. So I'm going to make a motion to remove it from the table. It was tabled last time, and I'm going to make a motion to...
All right, there's a motion to...
It actually wasn't tabled. It was referred to this meeting. So it wasn't.
It was just deferred?
Tabled.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it was tabled.
Nope. Okay.
No,
I thought it was tabled.
It was tabled until tonight.
So oh.
I mean, okay.
Do
okay. Okay. So I removed that. But I do think that, you know, as difficult as it might make your job, the committee's job, we do have a responsibility to our constituents that overwhelmingly called for something like this. I do agree, you know, the state should do it, but we have the power to get something done within the next month. I think at the state level, I think it would take a long time, if at all. That's all.
So are you moving it?
I will move to approve it.
I second. Motion on the floor is motion to approve. Made by Supervisor Maurer, seconded by Supervisor Nordegan. More discussion?
I seconded it because I'm in favor of the resolution. Certainly, Wisconsin State Legislature has to do their jobs. But just like other resolutions, they get shared with other counties to promote what it is that they're trying to achieve. To try to get the state to move on it, I think that we have that on here. That this is the first step towards hopefully the state taking this up and clarifying these things, as Supervisor Kubicki is concerned with, and he's right, they do have to do it. However, there are some things that the county can do right now that'll help bridge some of the information gap. And I think that's really important as us going forward.
Mm-hmm. One more comment. If the state ever does take this up, they might define park, they might define adjacent property more clearly. However, I don't think that they will put in the provisions to the ones that kind of we really want, the notification of the municipalities. I mean, I could see them foregoing that.
Us, though.
What's that?
That'd be up to us to notify the municipalities. That has nothing to do with the county. Nothing to do with the state.
Right, right. But that's still in here.
Yeah.
That, you know, that part is needed. Yeah.
Supervisor?
Sure. So, I don't know how I do this the right way. Because I was in Twin Lakes, and we just kind of talked amongst ourselves. But I would like to change the time period, the 3 days.
So make a motion to change it.
I'd make a motion to change the time period to, let's say, 10 business days. Is that within the time that all this takes place?
I'd second that.
All right, there's an amendment on the table. Motion by Supervisor, I know your first name, I don't know your...
Lewis.
Blanking right now, Lewis. Seconded by Supervisor Maurer to amend it from 3 days to 10 days. Business days. So that's the motion on the floor right now for discussion. A question I would have is that heads up, that notification of 10 days. What is that? I mean, from the point that you guys are the committee's finding out, is that 10 days substantial? Is it work?
I guess from my standpoint, again, I certainly understand the motivation. I understand the rationale behind it. But the way it's written, it talks about notifying the municipal administrator and village president or town chairman of the potential residents within 3, or now it's being proposed 10 business days after a judge orders the county to find a residence for a Chapter 980 placement. At the point in time in which the placement is ordered, we probably don't have a location. we may or may not have a location within those 10 days. So if the idea is to, I think this is a situation where we can probably come to some kind of agreement, but I don't know that the judge ordering it should be the triggering event, because at that time, and even 10 business days after the judge orders it, we may not have anything on the horizon that we can advise anybody of, short of sending a notice, I guess, to every municipality saying, we've got someone we need to place, it could go there. But we're highly unlikely to have a specific location within the time frame that's being suggested if the triggering event is the ordering of the placement.
How? Question. Then how did they pick the Salem Lake site? What was that process then? So the judge said they got to...
The judge ordered it
just to order
months
it?
Earlier.
Right, okay.
Absolutely months earlier.
And so months earlier, so it took months to find that site?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. What we've been doing, and again, I thought I talked about this last month, maybe I didn't. What we've done is we have developed a map that we think is in compliance with the statutory requirements showing us where we could or couldn't place somebody. And on a weekly basis, we have been running that map against the real estate listings with certain criteria, because we know that someone who's liable to rent to the state for these purposes isn't going to pay $250,000 for a piece of property, so we've got some price criteria and so forth. But we run those against each other to try and get a determination of what properties might be available. We share those lists with vendors that we're aware of. So it's not as if someone approaches us and says, hey, come here. It's not as if we know ahead of time. We're really working off of what's available.
So once you've done that process, then what's the time frame from, hey, we've identified locations. That's the time. So maybe the time frame is when locations have been identified, you have 3 days then, or 10, whatever it is. I don't know what time frame you're going to be on at that point. If it takes months to identify location, and then you're going to take another 2 weeks, 10 business days, how is that running up against the time of release time? I think that's what you were getting at. So we still have time.
It's, yes. I mean, okay. It's very hard. It's...
So the time that a property or T's have been identified, municipalities of those properties, where those properties are located, then need to be contacted within 10 business days. And that's the way that we should be doing
and
that.
And when you say identified, you mean that we
on your map, you identify
a property
them.
That could, because right. Again, then...
Well, then you might want to talk to the municipalities to get some commonality and say, hey, these are the 2, 3, 8 sites or whatever that we're looking at. And we see them as being good for these locations. Let's talk about it. And I think that's
so
what you want to
Supervisor
get
Supervisor Norgard again, and Supervisor Lewis, you're saying 10 days. So if the 1, 2, 3, 4th line down, the be it further resolved, if it said within 10 business days after the county finds a place of residence for a Chapter 980 placement. So that is the preferable wording.
Yeah, sense.
Yeah. Would you like
been at a starting point for right. 10 days.
Would you like to amend your?
I would amend my amendment thusly.
Amy, you agree with that?
Yes. Yep. Second.
So my concern with the we're crunching for time here as we speak is the 3, the 10. What I see is the potential for both sides. Deviousness on both sides, right? The county or the state the county in this case, trying to slip somebody into a house within those 3 days or earlier, right? Into an apartment or whatnot, but on the same side, when the county informs the municipality, you see where I'm going with this, so go ahead.
I do, and maybe I should, again, we haven't gotten, there's so many steps in the process, I probably haven't covered all of them. So, what happens is that if the county identifies a property that seems to fit the criteria, law enforcement signs off on it. We have then, you're correct, we have not typically involved the municipality. What we have done, in the only instance where I think we had something, we provided, technically what we do is we provide that information to the Department of Health Services, copying it to the court, because then the Department of Health Services has 30 days to create a, no, I'm sorry, take it back. The court has to order the placement, then the Department of Health Services has 30 days to create a release plan or a supervision plan, which has to be signed off on by the court. So again, there is no sliding somebody in the middle of the night. There is no, there's nothing quick about this. There are numerous steps. There are numerous checks. I understand the concern, but again, it is not something that we can do. And when I say we, I'm saying both the county and the state can do quickly. I mean, it just doesn't occur.
Right, and that's where I was going with my concern is, we make it 10 days, so then we inform or notify the municipality. Now they have an idea of where those placements are. Hey, quick, let's talk to the real estate agent and get that filled right away.
No, I don't think you'll see that.
I mean, to not have somebody moved in there.
No, I don't think the idea is to not have somebody moving in. It's move them into a properly identified location. And I think that's the...
And if it gets filled beforehand, then... Now they're back at chocolate.
You know what? That could happen in this day and age with even finding a place for rent, much less something for sale now. I mean, there's just nothing out there. You know, that's tough right now. So could it happen? I guess it could. But if you're getting guaranteed, this guy's getting $2,500 a month for a piece of it. Anyway, it's not a very nice location. I would take that over selling it. I mean, that's big money.
Sure.
So anyway.
So the amendment on the floor right now is move it from 3 days to 10 days. Any more discussion?
And remove the talk about the judge.
Within 10 days. Say again?
And remove the discussion, the talk about the judge orders.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm fine with extra bit time, but I'm still not going to be fine with the resolution. So.
So I'll vote aye with the time frame.
Aye.
Supervisor Lewis?
Aye.
All right, so it's unanimous on the time frame. Moving on to the amended resolution.
Move approve the amended resolution.
Second.
Motion to approve the amended resolution by Supervisor Notergan and seconded by Supervisor Maurer. Discussion?
No, I'm not going to support it. Like I mentioned earlier, state's got to get their name the game. Get in the game now, state what these parks are, state what they want that need to be stated, not put it on everybody else to do their job. They need to do their job, we can do our job, move it from there. So appreciate the effort, but I still think the state needs to get involved. That's my point. And I understand what you're trying to say, but pushing them, we need to get them on board now before we get it. So that's that. That's all I have to say.
So all right, so
you can start with me if you want.
All right, Supervisor Kubicki.
I'm going to say no. I think I was clear about it from the get-go.
Supervisor Beth.
Aye.
Supervisor Lewis.
Aye.
Supervisor Maurer.
Aye.
Supervisor Frederick.
Aye.
Supervisor Berg. I'm going to, in its entirety now, no. Supervisor Nordigan.
Aye.
Youth and Governance?
Aye.
No.
No? Okay. So it passes right now 5-2 to move on to the county board. Moving on, all the matters.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Supervisor Kubicki, seconded. Supervisor Nordigan. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. See you upstairs.
Mr. Chairman, in order to effectuate...
Oh, yeah, we can get this. I don't disagree with that, but we've passed resolutions to move the state on a bunch of stuff. So
you need to see what park is and everything else.
Well, I'm just saying.
Okay,
so I'm going to get skin in the game.
I'll bring it upstairs again.
And then give it back to me. Like, I'll make sure it gets changed.
I don't know what's the... Are you general or not? I'm...